All right, here we go. Psalm 92, verse 10. I want to speak tonight on fresh oil, because that's what's going to hit this place tonight. Fresh oil. How many of you know, in a revival like this, in the sense of it is definitely turning into apostolic, prophetic, missions, blah, blah, blah. It's a different sort of revival, but it's got all the hallmarks of revival, with the joy, with the healings, with people out in the streets, blah, 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 we just go on. But what happens is when something goes on week after week after week after week, what can start to happen is that we need at some point to get back under the glory spout and receive fresh anointings. Because what happens is it just becomes the same old, same old. And what begins to happen is then God begins to, or the enemy actually begins to distract us, and things of our own flesh and our own insecurities and our own pride and our own pain starts to come up. And for whatever reason, we blame the revival for it. I know, I've never understood that one, but I've done it too. I used to throw rocks at God all the time in the river, so I don't knock anybody for doing that, but it's stupid. Don't do it, because you'll end up losing. You can't fight against God. And what happens is not everyone, according to their temperament and personality, begins to respond and react differently. But the reality is all we're needing is a fresh touch of the anointing upon our life. Because what set you on fire at some point in this revival was a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life. So why should it change? Nowhere in the Bible does it say to get anointed once, have a freshness of His presence on you once, and that's it. Nowhere does it say that. And so why do we even think we can get by like that? And anyway, Psalm 92, verse 10, in the King James Bible, because it brings it over very accurately, it says, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn." Some of your translations or versions, I should say, will say like that of a wild ox, a unicorn, wild ox. Wild ox is really I don't know, the unicorn. It was actually a horse that used to have a big horn sticking out of it. And that's really what it's referring to, but you could get away with a wild ox. But it says, you know, you have exalted me or my horn like that, the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I don't want to get into what the horn and the exalting like the horn of a unicorn is, but I do want us to look at the last part of the verse. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Everyone say, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And get rid of this stupid thing here next meeting. Okay. I need to feel free. I keep thinking, what am I backing into? All right. That word anointed, it simply means I shall be anointed with fresh oil. The word anointed means to overflow specifically with oil. To overflow. It also means to mix and to mingle. It's talking about that we need to be anointed to the point of having an overflow of the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 23, it says there, about my cup shall overflow. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And, you know, and it says a lot of wonderful things in that chapter, but it talks about the overflowing. My cup shall overflow. And we need to have an overflowing. That's why God comes on us in His presence. That's why He can come upon us in worship. He can come upon us through the laying on of hands or ministering in the prophetic or whatever, or just simply being at home. It doesn't have to be in a meeting. But, you know, we need to be continually exposed to the overflow of the anointing. Not just feeling a little bit of the anointing, but the overflow. Did you know everything about God is overflow? God is not a conservative God. In the Deuteronomy 28, He talks about that if you do all these things and obey His commands and live a life of obedience, which still applies in the New Testament, then these blessings shall overtake you. It's like, you know, it's an amazing thing. It's just like you're driving along in a car, and a guy comes along in a Big Mac truck at 100 mile an hour and just overtakes you. Boom. Leaves you for dead and you feel the impact of it. Trucks don't normally, well, they do go that fast. But that's what it's like. The blessing of God will overtake you. You think you're doing well and you think, well, you know, God's blessing me here and blessing me there. But He overtakes you. He wants to overtake you with your finances. He wants to overtake you in the blessing of God in your life and your anointing and your effectiveness and your gifts in the business world, whatever. He wants to bless your lives. He wants to bless our lives. But you see, we've got to study Scripture. We shall be anointed. That's to overflow with oil. How many of you would like an overflow of oil tonight? Well, you'll get it if you believe for it. It also means to mix and to mingle. What does that mean? That anointing just gets on the inside of you. I call the anointing the stuff of God. It's just that divine stuff that gets into your bones, it gets into your clothes. That's why sometimes you're so anointed, your clothes just have to touch somebody and they feel the presence of God and get knocked to the floor, whatever. Elijah's case, he was dead till he was just a skeleton, and a dead man touched him, as you hear me say a lot, and the dead man rose from the dead. That's how much life that Elisha still in his bones a year or so after he had died. Amazing. So it's this stuff of God from the Holy Ghost. And it begins to mix in our life. It begins to mix in our soul. It begins to mix in our mind and our body. It begins to mix through our hands so we can lay hands on people and get that divine stuff out of us that destroys yokes of bondage in people's lives. I'm not calling the Holy Ghost stuff. The anointing is from the Holy Ghost. It's just this divine stuff. It's just another way of saying it to keep you all awake and listen to what I'm saying, you know. And so we need to understand that it's that divine stuff that gets into us. But listen, the anointing isn't just for ministry. The anointing, it wants to mix and mingle in your everyday life. The anointing is for you to make right decisions at your work, to be able to work smarter, not harder, to be able to raise up your children, you know, to help you with your exams, as well as to anoint your gifts and power that God has put upon your lives. We need to understand that it's for every single area of our life. How many of you know that God just doesn't care about the Friday, Saturday, Sunday meetings? He cares about you 24/7. If you never came to one of these meetings again, He cares for you very, very much. He really does. He thinks the world of you. I know we can say God loves everybody here. He does. But I reckon love is just a word that doesn't mean much to the American and Australian society. It doesn't mean that much now. Say God loves you, think, oh yeah, well, it's like my dad loves me, or my sister loves me, or my boyfriend, or my wife, or husband loves me. You know, it can mean a lot depending on whether you've got good relationships or not. It can mean nothing. But I like to use the term, God likes you. Tell the person next to you, say, God likes you. He thinks you're pretty cool. He does, He likes you. That means... That is a lot stronger word. The word like is a much stronger word in our culture than love. God likes you. When someone comes up to me and says, I love you, it's neither here or there to me. But when someone says, you know, I really like you, that gets my attention because I think they mean it then. Because as Christians, I love you with the love of the Lord. No, you don't. You hate my guts. You're just hiding behind God. You ever heard Christians say that? Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord, brother. Keep it to yourself. All right. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. That word fresh means to be green. It means to be verdant. It means to be new. It means to be prosperous. It means to be green. It means to be flourishing. Have you ever heard of an evergreen tree? Well, an evergreen tree means that it's ever forever green. It means no matter they're in certain parts of the world, in certain countries, and what they do is that doesn't matter whether it's winter, whether it's snowing, whether it's hail, whether it's blistering heat, they are evergreen. They're always green. And this is what the freshness of the anointing does to us, that when we're anointed with fresh oil, we are evergreen. No matter whether it's a season of oppression, an attack of the devil, we're evergreen. Because the freshness of God's upon us. It doesn't matter whether we're going through a time where it's a great trial and we don't know half the time whether it's God or the devil or both, you know, or we're feeling weary or we've lost our hunger, we've lost our first love for Jesus. When we go through, no matter what season hits us, friends, we should always be evergreen. And what is the secret? It's being anointed with fresh oil. That's why we major on revival so much, on laying on of hands and encouraging you to reach out to God and to yield to Him and to be filled with His presence. Why? Because we're evergreen. That's why. Evergreen. Flourishing and prosperous. That's what the anointing does. So if you're not evergreen, you're not anointed. It's simple as that. or you're not using it, one of the two. You shall be anointed with fresh oil. That word oil means especially liquid, as from the olive, often perfumed. It's got richness in it. It's fruitful. You look at Numbers chapter 11, verse 8. This is when the children of Israel had been mightily delivered and set free from the bondage of the Egyptians. But they still whinged and moaned and complained, the whole 3 million of them. It's at least 3 million of them out in the desert. But God provided for these people supernaturally, man. The kids put on their little sandals and shoes and their clothes, and they just grew with them. The clothes grew with the children. So when they were adults, they were wearing the same stuff. But it had grown with them. You read that. That's all there in Exodus and Deuteronomy and Numbers. But you find here, God was supernaturally providing them with bread from heaven called manna. Supernatural bread. It would just float down from heaven and land on the ground. And it says here in Numbers chapter 11, verse 8, and the people went about and gathered it, that's the manna, and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. What does that mean? The taste of it when they were eating the bread of heaven. And what happens is, manna is from heaven, and the taste of heaven is like fresh oil. Manna is from heaven, it's the bread of God, and the taste of heaven is like fresh oil. That's what we've got to realize, that God gives us a little taste of heaven, of manna every week, through revelation of His Word of God, through the power of the Holy Ghost, through ministering of the laying of hands, or however it comes to you. He's doing it all the time. And a taste, look, all you're doing is getting a taste of heaven. That's what fresh oil is. It's coming from the throne. Where do you think it's coming from? Some little pygmy over in Africa somewhere. Goodness. The anointing is from God. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. The anointing is from God. We've got to understand that. It's not some toy that we choose to play with or not. It's a tool. It's a weapon. It's a gift God's given to us. And we need to learn that we are anointed. And according to the Bible in 1 John, we are all anointed. As soon as you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are anointed. If you don't feel it, that's your fault. You should be cultivating it with the Word of God and prayer. Okay, I think you can turn that air conditioning off now. People look like they're getting a bit cold here. Freezing their little butts off. Thank you for putting it on for a while. But how do we keep the anointing of fresh oil flowing in our lives? That's a good question, Stevie. You know, how do we keep the anointing of fresh oil flowing in our lives? Well, first of all, we must know a few things about oil, natural oil. First the natural, then the spiritual. That's why I take time in talking about things of the natural, then applying spiritual principles or spiritual realities to it so we understand. Jesus in the New Testament calls it parables, earthly stories with heavenly meanings. But we've got to know a few things about oil. Number one, if we're going to understand about how do we keep the anointing of fresh oil flowing in our lives, we've got to understand that oil evaporates. Oil evaporates. After about 4 years, actually, especially olive oil, if you don't use it and just keep it on in your cupboard and you don't use it at all, after about 3 to 4 years max, it will evaporate, turn to nothing. You see, if you receive, listen to this carefully, if you receive a powerful anointing, or you have received a powerful anointing many years ago, and you did not use it to the way God wanted you to use it, or you abused it through sin, it will spiritually evaporate, and you won't even know that it's gone from you. Many people think they're anointed today. Many churches think they're anointed, and God left them, the anointing left them years ago. God removed the candlestick from them. It's there in the book of it's in quite a few places over the Word of God. What about in Judges chapter 16? Chapter 16, verse 20. Just listen to this. You know, this is Samson, who's probably the most anointed, powerful man in the whole of biblical history. This man, it doesn't say he was big or small. I choose to think he was small and skinny little runt like Bob. You know, that's what I think he was like. But you see, this man, had so much power. And the secret, you know, he had to do a few things. He wasn't allowed, he had to take a Nazarite vow. He couldn't drink strong drink, couldn't drink alcohol, could never get his hair cut. And that was really the secret of his power, was living in that obedience to God. And so he toyed around with the anointing. And he toyed around and he abused the anointing in sin. He would just get any woman he wanted. He would go to the Philistine camp when he wasn't supposed to go there. And he really abused. A lot of times he was used powerfully by God. Some of it he was just abusing the anointing. But one day, you know, they're trying. His wife, Delilah, was trying to find out the secret of his power. And we know the story well. And she tried several times and he just broke the ropes that were on him. And he'd just destroy and kill the Philistines like he'd normally do. But this time he had enough of her nagging, so he told her, "If you cut my hair, that's the secret of my power. I'll be just normal." So while she got him drunk or did something and he fell asleep, cut his hair, and she said that the Philistines are upon you. And the Bible says, well, we'll read it here. So we get the from the Word of God. In Judges 16, verse 20. No, we'll just say it's a story. And what happens is he just says, "Wow, the Philistines are upon me. Well, I'll just go out there and get them like other times." And to his amazement, they captured him, they seized him, and they pulled out his eyes. And the Bible says this about him in Judges 16, 20. He did not know that the Lord, he did not know that the anointing had departed from him. Here's a man who was so used to the power of God, who picked up the jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 soldiers with it. How can you kill 1,000 soldiers? He must have been Bruce Lee a million times, bang, used that jawbone of an ass like a nunchucker. I don't know how he did it. And then at the end of it, he said, "I'm thirsty. I think I'd be thirsty too if I just killed 1,000 guys." But it's amazing. The Bible doesn't even say he had any mark on him or he was bruised or anything or they didn't get him. But anyhow, it shows you the level of power that he touched. But he did not know that the Lord, which means he did not know the anointing had departed from him. You know, that's so sad about a lot of Christians, men and women who were once highly anointed, because through not taking it seriously or abuse or trying to operate more in their gifting rather than the gifting on the anointing or the anointing on the gifting, they still think God's with them, but there's no more fruit on their lives anymore. And they don't even know that the anointing has departed from them. That's pretty sad, isn't it? You see, listen to this. The anointing that you don't use properly, you will lose. That's one of my sayings. The anointing that you don't use properly, you will lose. You won't lose your salvation, necessarily. You won't lose that, but you will lose the anointing. That sorts you out from the men, from the boys, that ability to get the job done, the enabling of God. All right. Number two, another thing we need to know, truth we need to know about oil, that oil leaks, L-E-A-K-S, it leaks. You see, listen to this. If we have holes in our heart of sin, if we have holes in our lives because of sin, the oil is drained out of you. Life just like oil leaking out of a container. You put a few, if you had a carton, it wasn't glass, but it was plastic, you had olive oil in it and put a few pinpricks in it from top to bottom, various places. After a few days, that oil would just completely leak out of all the holes. You start to dent and pinprick and allow the devil, because the Bible says that the devil in Ephesians chapter 6 throws his fiery darts at you. But when you've got no holes of sin in your life, it can't penetrate, just falls off. But if there's sin, it begins to stick like glue. And before long, the anointing of God just drains out of you because you get more into the flesh and more out of the spirit. So the oil drained out of your life is just like oil leaking out of a container. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says there very clearly, "Neither give place to the devil." And many, many Christians give place to the devil. We've seen it here recently with some of the young men here. One who got recently saved and delivered from alcohol, Tony or Andrew, and really, really coming on well. But then one day, a few weeks ago, he gets a bright idea that he thinks he can, he's so excited, he's only 3 weeks old in the Lord, to go and witness to all his friends and to bring them to Jesus. He went straight back into the drug and alcohol scene, just like that. Now, he'll come back because he had a real experience with God. But it's stupid of us, number one, for letting him do that. And, it's the guys who are looking after him should have been used their head a bit more there. Because he looked like he was doing fine, and he was. And he actually said he was most shocked. He couldn't believe that he'd fall back into the very thing that he was set free from. It's too soon. You don't send a new convert who's had a life of drugs and alcohol, let him go back to try and bring his friends here. Sure, let him go back with three or four of you. So, we've got to live and learn and do this thing. We say, well, it's not really our fault. Well, it is, because a few guys just let him go. He said, I want to go to Walmart and buy himself. She'd never let him do it. It's not controlling someone's life. It's just really showing them that you love them. And that's very, very sad for those things to happen. But never mind. We just got to believe God that he'll come back. But the Bible says neither give place to the devil. So these things are real. That we can't get so full of ourselves and our own importance. That anointing has got to be used to keep every one of us on the straight and narrow. It's true. You see, don't give place to the devil. The third thing about oil, there's a lot more I could say there, but we'll move on. The third thing about oil is that oil has to be changed to stay fresh. Makes sense. For example, when the oil in a car engine is fresh and it's thick and it's lubricated and it keeps the engine flowing smoothly, that's obvious. But after about 3,000 miles, some say you don't have to worry about that, but usually after about 3,000 miles, somewhere around there, the oil will need to be changed. Why? Because it loses its thickness, its strength. It loses its freshness. It loses its color. It becomes black and picks up all the engine muck, and it becomes thin, and it's not good for your engine anymore. Now, we need to change our spiritual oil frequently with the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. We can't operate effectively on an old anointing. If you do a study on the children of Israel in the desert, especially concerning the manna, they are given specific instructions that when the manna fell from heaven, they had to pick it up that day. But if they waited till the next day, there's certain times they could pick it up. And if they disobeyed those times or decided they're a bit lazy, pick it up tomorrow, it was stinking already. It had gone. So that manna, that freshness from heaven, freshened oil from heaven, as the Bible calls it, was on the ground when it was with people walking in God and doing the way he told them to do it. It worked for them. When they decided to think, I'm going to do it my way, it became a curse. It stunk and they couldn't eat it. It was filled with worms, the Bible says. But that same thing done with God was the bread of heaven. And that's it's just a picture of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need to change our spiritual oil frequently with the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. The anointing that you received in this revival is not going to sustain you now. I'm telling you now. That's where some come amok. It's where some fall apart. That's where some get tired and weary and you're just plain dragging yourself out to these meetings, hoping something will happen. It's because what has happened is you're running on an old anointing. You're running on something you got 2 months ago or 5 months ago, and it was good for then. But if you try to operate in it now, it'll become a smell and a stink to you. It won't work. Trust me, it won't work. And so what you've got to do is simply be anointed with fresh oil. How often? Frequently. A little bit more than every 3,000 miles. You can't operate effectively on an old anointing. The fourth thing I want to mention here is fresh oil has a beautiful smell to it. You ever smelt fresh oil, especially cooking oil or a good quality cooking oil, especially olive oil? It's got a very good smell to it. Beautiful smell to it. See, when olive oil gets old, it rots and it releases a horrible smell. How many of you, your cooking oil, you haven't used it and it goes off? How many of you have done that? It stinks, doesn't it? Well, when that same oil is fresh, it emits a beautiful smell. And you see, there's a beautiful fragrance that is released when we move in the fresh anointing. An absolutely beautiful smell when we move in the fresh anointing. There's been meetings where when there's fresh anointing, because I go on about this a lot, and God's given me a lot of revelation on it. I'm just giving you a part of it tonight. Have you ever been in meetings where you've smelt the fragrance of Christ? You just smell it. It's not some lady with a nice perfume on. Sometimes it is. But a lot, what I'm saying is it's different. You can have a choir of people singing. You think, wow, they sound like angels are so good. Then you can really hear angels singing, which is something way above what a human voice could do. Well, there's a beautiful fragrance that's released when we move in the fresh anointing. And sometimes it can manifest and we literally smell heaven. And I've had that happen lots of times in my meetings. I've got a feeling it just might happen tonight because we're talking about it. But when we don't use the anointing and let it grow old, we stink of the flesh. I've studied this for years, seen powerful, God used people powerfully in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God used people powerfully in all sorts of dimensions of the Spirit, and they're fresh and they're vibrant. And then for whatever reason, they haven't pressed into God. They haven't believed God or saw the necessity to have a fresh anointing regularly, whether that's once a day or once a week, changing their oil for freshness of the Holy Spirit. Then they just start to run on that old anointing, and after a while, their flesh starts to come back. And they start to be more motivated by the flesh. Then bad attitudes come in, and all sorts of things start to take place. It's an amazing thing. I see it time after time after time after time. We can alleviate those problems. You can try and counsel those people. You can try and say, you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. Why aren't you on fire here anymore? Why are you in the meeting for a while and just decide to get up and walk out? Gee, some people are so rude. But anyhow, what we've got to understand is, friends, that those people need a fresh anointing. That's all it is. Rather than tell them off, you're best off just saying, you need a fresh anointing. You need to get under the spout where the glory comes out. You need a fresh touch, which they will respond, most of them, because they're full of stinking pride. Well, I don't need that. That's exactly what you need, lame brain. You know? I mean, it's seriously, you'd have to be a lame brain not to want a fresh touch of God. I'm not disrespecting you. I'm just telling you, you are, turn to the person next to you and say, if you don't receive freshness, you're a lame brain. Don't say that to Patty, she'll beat you up. But listen, nobody's lame brains here, you're all great people. But what I'm saying, in comparison to what you're missing out on, that's, you'd have to be very lame to not want God, to not want a fresh touch. Seriously, take my word for it. Most of your problems, if you've got any, where you've been distracted, is because you simply need a fresh touch from heaven. Forget about a person. Forget about whether the pastor's taking in the right direction. Or forget about this. Forget about that. The reality is you just get a fresh touch of God in your life. Then out of that freshness, he'll either let you see things in perspective, clear perspective, or he'll say your time is to move on. Go further afield. Whatever. Comes out of the freshness of God. We put so much pressure on ourselves. All right. But when you don't use the anointing and you let it grow old, you will stink. Everyone turn to each other and say, you will stink. You will. You'll stink of the flesh. All right. We'll move on from that one. Number five. When we are anointed, it changes us. When we are anointed, it changes us. Yeah. So far we've looked at, number one, oil evaporates. Secondly, oil leaks. Thirdly, oil has to be changed to stay fresh. Fourthly, fresh oil has a beautiful smell to it. And number five, when we are anointed, it changes us. Once again, to save time, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6, it's when Saul has been commissioned by Samuel and said, these signs are going to come upon you to try and convince him and prove that he's going to be anointed as king. And one of the signs was he would come and meet a group of prophets prophesying, praying the timbrels and other instruments. And the power of God was so much upon them, he walked into a God zone of the prophetic. And as soon as he walked among them, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6, you will be changed into another man. Completely different. And as soon as he came among the prophets, he started to prophesy. He didn't even know what prophecy was. And everybody thought he was one of the prophets because he prophesied just like them, because he took on their spirit. And when you take on the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you take on the likeness of Christ. You take on him. You take on his mantle, so to speak. And what happens is you will be changed into another person. If you're timid, you become bold. If you're not joyful, you become joyful. If you're sick, you'll become healed. If you're too scared to pray for people, you'll suddenly have this authority to get the job done in God. He changes you into another man. So don't worry about trying to change your personality. Don't worry about trying to think, well, I've got to grow a little bit more. I've got to be a little bit more like Vaughn or like Steve or one of my other leaders. I've got to be more like them. Forget it. Go to the Master Jesus. He's a perfect model and perfect example. Listen, I'm telling you now, he's not going to let you down. You're not going to see any flaws with Jesus. You get your eyes on man, you'll see flaws. You get your eyes on me, you'll see flaw after flaw after flaw after flaw. And if you don't, I'll make sure you do to get your stinking eyes back on Jesus. It's true. Discipleship is all about you getting your relationship with God strong, not depending on me or whoever else is training you. I believe in training, but if I'm training people right, they get them onto Jesus, not onto me. God's going to pay your bills, not me. But the anointing changes us. You see, when we flow, we move, we become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. If we don't keep fresh, we will lose the anointing. And it will be as if we were never anointed in God's sight. Let me say that again. If you don't keep fresh, you will lose the anointing, and it will be in your life as if it were that you'd never, ever were ever anointed in God's sight. I said, that's pretty heavy. Well, let's go to the scripture. I'm glad you said that. All right. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21. He's talking about, let's turn to it actually. 2 Samuel, it's pretty important, this scripture. 2 Samuel. Chapter 1, that's the right lad, chapter 1, in verse 21. It says there, O mountains of Gilboa, may you neither have dew nor rain, nor fields that yield offerings of grain. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul no longer rubbed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the flesh of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back. The sword of Saul did not return satisfied. You see, what that says there in the King James, for there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul no longer rubbed with oil. What that literally is saying in the Hebrew is, it's as though that Saul had never been anointed with oil. It's as though that he never had been the king of Israel. Because when he was anointed, he abused that anointing and feared man, and tried to gain the approval of man more than God. And it cost him the anointing. And he became demonized. And God put that anointing on David, who became king quite a number of years later. But we need to understand, it's as though he had never been anointed with oil. Read it in the King James. That's probably the closest to the original Hebrew. Gets it right there. How sad that is, friends. Think about that. Because we probably think in the New Testament era, that's impossible. It's as though he had never been anointed with oil. And when he was on fire for God, he did a lot of good things. I mean, he prophesied with the prophets, man. He was a great king, a great warrior. Didn't last long because of his own flesh and his own insecurities. But it's as though he had never been anointed with oil. How sad. How sad it would be if anybody who's been a part of this revival, that it was though you had never being anointed with oil at all. And it's amazing when people backslide, and I've heard a couple have left this revival. There's a lot of great reports, but the negative reports of one young girl who got mightily saved here, and she used to get up here and talk about how God gave such revelation on the love of God. She denies the whole thing now, as if it was just a waste of time. Why? Can't you see what happens? It's as though that she had never been anointed with oil at all, because she abused the very anointing God gave her by falling into sin and thought more of sleeping with a boyfriend and getting drunk than cultivating that anointing. Happens all the time. Why do you think people go to hell? I'll tell you something. You listen to this carefully. I wonder when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 to 23, "Depart from me because I never knew you." I wonder if he is referring to people who had operated out of their gifting, but through sin, the anointing leaked right out of their lives. Let's not get confused here. The Bible says in Romans that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So a man or a woman can fall into sin, they can deny God, but the gift and call of God still remains on their life. Because that scripture simply means once God gives you a gift, he is never sorry that he gave it to you. But that's not talking about the anointing. That's talking about a gift. You can operate out of a gift without the anointing. And so here we see is that these people, when Jesus said to them in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Who is he talking to? These were people who prophesied in Jesus' name. These were people who cast out devils in Jesus' name. These were people who worked miracles in Jesus' name. It's all there in Matthew 7, 22 and 23. He called them workers of iniquity. How could that be? People who prophesied, cast out demons, worked miracles in Jesus' name. Yet when that great day came, when they should be led into heaven with all the other Christians, he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Yet they moved in the power of God. I'll tell you what they were doing is they were moving in their gifting. There were people who once knew the mighty experience of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. There were people who once moved in the presence of God. And through sin, they still loved God, so they still did things in his name. But they operated their gifting without even realizing the power of God had left them years ago. So if you get confused with that scripture, you think of the way I'm presenting it, you'll find I'm pretty well right. You've got to understand this. Because people, you know, say about, you know, well, you know, these people like Benny Hinn and all these people, they're false prophets, they're this, they're that, and you've got to be very careful. These men aren't false prophets, they're men of God. And, you know, God's just going to say to them in the end, "Depart from me, I never knew you." People abusing and misquoting scripture. It's talking about people who are once anointed and now just operating out of their gifting, probably not even realizing that God, by his anointing, left them years ago. I don't personally understand that, because I know when God's not anointing me, I know it in 2 seconds and it scares the hell out of me. I was very worried tonight, beginning of the meeting, not for your sake, worried about me, thinking, hey, before every meeting, God, you usually fill me with power. And you let me know the height of the anointing you want that meeting to come to. I felt nothing. I got up here by faith and I thought, it's not the team, it's me here. But I've learnt through a lot of years of experience just to hang in there, that it'll break eventually. See, preachers don't share enough of the things they go through. So you're there going through all these confusing thoughts at times and maybe even feeling what I'm feeling at times. But you think, oh, what's wrong with me? It's so unspiritual. Or, you know, and really, it's just something you're going through. You just got to keep hanging in there. Charles Finney, if the presence of God lifted off him, if the anointing lifted off him for 2 minutes of any day, he would immediately from that point start a fast until that presence of God was tangibly on him 24 hours a day. If he went up in the middle of the night to go for a pee and the presence of God wasn't on him, he would fast and pray, start a fast immediately. And would do it for days until the power of God was back on him. He hungered for the presence of God so much. I don't know anybody who's got a hunger like that, including me. Powerful, powerful truths from God's word. And we need to understand these things. But how could it be people who prophesy and cast out demons and work miracles? He calls them workers of iniquity. They'd lost the anointing on their lives and were operating out of a gifting. Amazing. You work out of just your gifting, friend, without the presence of God in your life, that's all God calls you, a work of iniquity. In other words, you're working in the flesh. going to profit the kingdom of God nothing. Absolutely. They once had the anointing and no longer used it. And it was as if the Lord didn't even recognize they're ever anointed. Whew, it's pretty heavy stuff. You know, we need to be anointed with fresh oil. But the good news is, I think tonight there's a room full of people here who really desire to be full of the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. And as I've been talking, some of it's been, if the cap fits, wear it. If you felt a bit of conviction on any point I made, it's probably you because you were getting a bit out of line there in God. That's what repent, just repent. Say, God, forgive me. That's it. The deal's done with him as long as you follow on with what you repented over. It's no big deal to God, friends. But I'm telling you something, friends, the anointing, the way a lot of churches deal with the anointing is if it's just a byproduct, it's just something, an afterthought. So many churches, you just think of how many sermons you've heard. How many sermons have you heard on the anointing and the presence of God and the tangible presence? You can go year after year and never hear a sermon on that. You can hear about life skill preaching, which is a bunch of rubbish. Psychologists can tell you that. Go to a motivational seminar, they'll tell you how to do that. But the most precious thing that gets the job done is talked so little of, the anointing. You'll always hear it around me. Because I believe it's the essence, it's the main foundation of the whole Word of God. Without it, you can't have anything. You're nothing without the anointing, friends, nothing. You haven't got enough power to blow the fuzz off a peanut, nothing. Absolutely nothing. But in Him, you're the most powerfulest people on planet Earth. And does that, being under the anointing, does that mean you're always laughing or always shaking or whatever else that comes? No. You can be just getting on with your business. God helps you to become a very successful business person. He helps you become the best employer at your work. Helps you to be the hardest and smartest worker. You don't really know why. It's because you've yielded yourself to the anointing. That's why. Oh, let's just lift our hands. We're going to see a move of God here now. Fill these hungry people, Lord Jesus. Fill these hungry people. I thank you for the precious anointing of the Holy Ghost.